Okay, we're starting. We are talking about drinking wine. So this is going to be a little bit controversial, this part, because this is the positives of wine. That's what we're focusing on today. Of course, we mentioned the dangers of wine and the dangers of getting drunk. Right now, we are not talking about getting drunk. Getting drunk, aside from Purim, there's nobody who's going to say that that's a good thing, because that's ibud hadas. That's losing your das. Yitzi, did you cut your beard?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even recognize you. When was that? Yesterday?
Yeah, I know. I almost didn't recognize myself. I know. It's been a while.
Yeah. Okay. You look good. So we're talking over here about drinking wine as a medium for simcha, but not at all getting drunk. This is a misconception. It's not, there's never a positive way of getting drunk aside from Purim, of course. But right now we're going to talk about the power of wine, how wine works from the beginning, meaning from the first glass of wine, already wine is poel in a person, a certain type of power. And our religion has so much wine in it, if you think about it. At a chuppah, there's wine. At a benching, we bench on wine. We do havdalah on wine. We make kiddush on wine. We do brises on wine. We're a very wine-oriented religion, but never is that kos of yayin an amount to get drunk on. A kos that a person uses at a chuppah or at a bris or benching, these are not things that are going to get a person shikr, but they will be able to be po'el simcha. A glass of wine, one kos of yayin, is a po'el of simcha. So Chazal, whenever there was an inyan of the tachashiva inyan, they put in their shtiyas yayin. The wine raises the bar of the thing. And even though there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of kiddush, but the mitzvah, and that mitzvah d'oraisa does not have wine involved b'chlal. But the mitzvah d'rabbanan, Chazal were misakin, is to have it with shtiyas yayin. So that's what we're now talking about in the Orchas Tzaddikim, and this is the derech of the Orchas Tzaddikim to always mention the pros and cons of every midah that we have and everything in the world that we have. He says, "Amnam shtiyas yayin atov meod bizman shtiya kedas." Wine, when it's drank in proper measure, is very good. Al minag maskilim, kiderach shel mishlomos nusheicher lo bibyayin lemer nefesh. When people are down or just need to like get to a certain level of equilibrium, a glass of wine is able to do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into the bria. Bo nemer al yayin amisameach elokim ba'anoshim uksiv yayin yisamach levavenosh. Wine makes man's heart happy. So it's kind of interesting, meaning the Torah's megala, something that a substance does. The Torah does that. The Torah is saying that it's a substance that's misameach. It makes a person happy. We don't have that by other things in the Torah, that the Torah says those things will make a person happy. It's kind of like an advertisement for wine over here. Okay. So, the O Demar al Yain of Samach Lakim Vanash, and Siv Yain Yisamach Lavanash, the Gamar and Kazu Kitovim Dodaku Yain, Benam Rikhikhian, I told okay, Mikol Ela Neda Shavacha Yain, Kishu Kimishmanacham Shos and Kishir. From here we see the greatness of wine when it's drank in measure, Shigbar Asecho Ala Yain, when the intellect overpowers the wine. Below yigbar hayayin ala seichel, but that not that the wine takes over the mind. So this is how you know whether the wine is good. If the wine is drank to the point where a person is just as intelligent as before, if not more, not that he's like a little bit lost and spacey and buzzed and tipsy, whatever, but really he's even thinking clearer than usual. So then that's a good sign. But if the wine is impairing his thought process and his ability to make decisions, then that's a clear sign that that's bad wine. And here's an amazing point. He says you have to be careful who you drink wine with. To drink with righteous people. And not with naked and empty people. The Rambam is saying, Orchas Hadim is saying something very, very important. That with wine in particular, environment is so crucial. Even if you're not planning on getting drunk, but the whole idea of drinking wine with a group who's not an elevated group can turn things into a very big disaster. Rahman al-Islam. Kiyayin Yosef Chachmas Amukim Beitzachayim L'machazikim Ba. Wine can open up someone's talent. Again, I don't personally know what the Orchas Tzaddikim is talking about. He's really giving a very big pitch for wine. But we're learning it, so I'm quoting it to you. Yang Yosef Chachmas Amaskel makes people smarter. Yachbil Shtusa Evil, but it makes the stupid stupider. Meaning, he says wine could either make the wiser wiser, or the foolish more foolish. V'yichadish Ahavos, watch this. V'yichadish Ahavas Ohev. It could reignite the love of someone you. Be a good thing, right? Meaning to regenerate that love. The Orer Evas Ha'oyev, but it could also awaken the hate towards an enemy, which we know, right? We see this in a lot of times when people get drunk, all of a sudden they start taking out old laundry, all different issues that bothered them, all of a sudden are now once again being rehashed. So if it's Ava, it's even better. But if it's Sina, then it's trouble. Okay. Generous people could open their hearts even more with wine. But it could take somebody who's stingy. Very interesting. It sounds like it brings out who you are, where you're holding. If you're have a certain ava towards someone, it'll let it shine. If you have a certain sinna, Rahman al-Tan, the sinna will come out. If you're a generous person, it'll cause you to be overly generous. And if you're stingy, it'll cause the mida to even be stronger. Because those mida shows the yayin. Whenever a person's in tsar, in pain, lo yuchal lilmod, he can't learn. Even Bezdin, when they're in tsar, can't be mavara the dinim of the Torah. Now, here I don't know exactly what he's talking about because Bezdin's not allowed to drink. It's a psul for Bezdin. If they drink, they cannot make a hara. So I'm not sure why he's bringing that over here. It's true that Bezdin shouldn't be bitzar, but Bezdin is not able to drink wine. Gama tsar mevatel kavanas halev betfila. Tsar, anguish, is also mevatel kavanas halev betfila. So now here, if a person would drink a glass of wine before davening, they would not be drunk, so they could still drink. They could still daven. So that here. Gam kishadim shari b'tzar mishim edabre elav o mishim b'vakshim ben alasas bo chesed ein lo koch lasos b'chashasam. Here he says something interesting, though, about general idea of being in pain. When a person's in pain, they really don't have strength for other people. Right, when you're dealing with something, everything else in life is just sort of like a nuisance. So I think that's really what he wants over here. He's not telling you that wine is the answer to everything. But what he's saying is a person should have ways in life to get out of that type of tsar. A person can become very self-absorbed and very focused on their particular painful issue. And they're just not going to roll up their sleeves and help other people in that state. They're going to be very insular, very focused on themselves. And they won't even have strength for other people. Person should drink in a way that he's 100% functional. And he should never drink in a way that will impair him for learning or davening. And also that he would never get to a point where he gets tipsy and he starts becoming silly. Right? That's the being silly is a major problem with drinking. So a person has to make sure not to drink to that extent. And also not to drink to the extent that you start revealing people's secrets, right? This is something very serious, which is when people are depending on you, and you have information about them that they confided in you. If you would ever get into a situation where you would reveal that, that would be a terrible thing. Wine tends to give a person a certain lack of discretion, and they could start revealing secrets about other people. Something interesting, I was very impressed. Today, I was told that a certain mashgiach, I think his name is Rav Daniel Ehrenfreund from Tifrach, if I'm getting the name right. Somebody told me a fascinating thing about him, that he said he has a rule that he doesn't, any bacher who asks him an etzah while he's in Tifrach, who like speaks to him, he does not speak to anyone about their shiduchim. What he does is, if he tells them that it's not this boy, but this boy, since he's close with me, I don't discuss him for shidduchim. Why? A fascinating reason. Because he doesn't want it to come back to haunt the bacher that he opened up to him, which is a fascinating point. I mean, I can tell you in my profession, right? When a person's growing, so they're naturally, if they turn to you for help, those certain things about them that are incriminating and that could be used against them. So he has a beautiful klal that when someone calls him for a shidduch, he says, listen, it's not that I don't have what to say about this bacher, but I have a rule that anyone who is miyayetz with me, I don't give shidduch information. I found that fascinating. Again, I'm sure, I don't know if everyone can do that, but it's a really nice thing that the Bachrim then feel like, you know, I've had that a couple of times where Bachrim, a lot of their motivation not to talk is because exposing problems is damaging, which by the way is true. I think there's validity to that, to be nervous. The more people you tell your issues to, the more you are vulnerable to having it come back to haunt you later. It's an important thing in life. A person should be careful not to expose too many people of their shortcomings. But if someone does confide in you, you most certainly can't let them down. And a lot of times if a person had too much to drink, they could by accident really make a very big mistake and say something publicly that was really that was really a personal thing that they confided in you. And then he says also your own personal secrets, which is also a great point, meaning we have certain secrets with ourselves that we protect ourselves by not telling anyone these things. We're protecting ourselves. And if a person in a state of drinking wine loses his discretion, he could end up revealing things about himself that were damaging. I've seen that many times in yeshiva and in life, where boys have damaged themselves by disclosing to their friends or others things about them when they were lacking the judgment because they were drinking. And then they don't even remember they did it, but the other bachur remember it very, very well. So it's dangerous for a person's own reputation. If a person's careful to always drink in a way that they would never lose their discretion, then it'll be great. During the yontifs, of course, yontif that has the din simcha, lo yimshoch atzmo b'yayin yosir minat roi. Person shouldn't drink over drink, though. Meaning, wine is already a simcha with a glass or two. Wine is not simcha when you're drunk. It's a very misconception. That's a misconception. Lo yimshoch atzmo b'yayin yosir minat roi. K'nemar tachas asher lo avarata. As Hashem alakecha b'simcha v'tuv leivav. Ha'lamarita shalom itzav beinu al simcha sheyishkach b'yotzer hakol. It wouldn't make sense for us to have a type of simcha on a yontif that would cause us to forget Hashem. I mean, this is the irony of what goes on many times, right? On yontifs, on sukkahs or whatever, things get out of hand and people forget. Why are they shtelling alcohol? Because it's yontif. So if it's yontif, so is this going to make Hashem happy or not? People often forget this type of simcha, this important simcha, this important idea that the simcha is supposed to connect you with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not chas v'shalom distance you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, that's why we have the whole idea of Bahab, is because yontifs can get out of control. It's so sad, because the yontif was really intended to have simcha lefnei Hashem, b'samach to lefnei Hashem alakecha. But what ends up happening is once people get a green light to be happy and to have a good time, so then they naturally start drifting away. And that's why we have Bahab, to sort of counterbalance the damage that's caused on Tovim. It's an impossibility to serve Hashem. If a person is too lightheaded, like too callistic, too much joking around, or drinking, it's not possible for them to be Ovid Hashem. Avodas Hashem requires a certain amount of seriousness, of being there, being present. And if a person doesn't have that, then they're not going to be able to be Ovid Hashem. I think since we're done with the topic, maybe we'll hold here for today. Avi, you have a question?
How does it make sense that Hashem would allow us to hold something that's like can easily turn so ra and so tov? Like, if we don't have like Hashem telling us, like, I give you opportunity to, you know, like different things in life that can one switch that will become the worst thing possible and in one way be the biggest simcha.
Right. It's actually a very good point.
It's like such a...
Yeah, it's such a powerful tool. But on the other hand, it could wreak so much havoc.
Like in a way also, I feel like it gives off a little bit like we always see like this, like people who don't need the wine and they're able to like, you know, still dance in Mergulim. Like, is that praiseworthy or is it praiseworthy for a person to have wine? Like, and if it's so, then why are we like, why is Hashem telling us like, you know, like, I know I don't actually, you know, I want you to, I'm making wine mutter because know, you might not be there. You might not get to that Madriga.
Right.
Like it's a little bit like, crutch.
Very, very interesting point. It is a very interesting point. I don't know if I have a good answer, but the crutch point, I do think, in terms of the crutch point, life is a little bit complex. So if we wouldn't have something external to like give us a boost, it would be very hard to enter certain types of spirit that we're supposed to have at certain times. So that point, at least, it's a very big bracha to have something external, because a lot of times we just need to get into a zone. And, you know, for some people it's food, but wine is a much more direct way of getting a person's mood, getting a person into a certain mood. I mean, it's kind of interesting. We have Simchas Yom Tov with Basar. You know, if we would try to think about if we could really be happy on a yontif without food. It's kind of funny. I guess because since we are physical beings, so what we call it is, there's a certain idea here, what I call it, throwing the body a bone, meaning we're a physical being. So if you tell a physical being to just be happy on a yontif, he doesn't know what's in it for him, because that's only like intellectual and spiritual happiness. But you have a whole body that's not really part of the fun. So what the Basar and Yayin are doing is they're talking to the body. We need things, even in Avodas Hashem, that speak to the body, because the body doesn't have an intellect, and it doesn't, and it has needs that are different than the neshama. So the trick over here is what you do is you give the body its basar, its yayin, but you sort of direct it like a pilot. And then you take the happiness of the body, now it's happy because it had a good meal, but you take that happiness of the body and you sort of direct it like a pilot upwards. But if we didn't have external things, our bodies can't relate to such intellectual and spiritual happiness. So if on the days that we're supposed to be intellectually and spiritually happy, we didn't have something like to throw a bone to our bodies, then we would just be dragging our bodies along everywhere, but they wouldn't be into it. So when you're at a Suda Shabbos and you're eating food that you like and you're having a glass of wine and you're singing Zmiros, for example, so the Zmiros are the connection of the neshama, but the body is enjoying the Zmiros too, because he just had chicken soup and good challah and dips and a glass of wine. So what's actually happening is something fascinating, that the body is willing to be happy about Ruchnius because you integrated something for it as part of the experience. So it's the only way to deal with the physical body. In order to get the physical body to be spiritual, you have to, while you're in a spiritual moment, give the body something that it could relate to. And in the context of the spiritual, it really rises to the occasion. But you are right. Anything physical by nature is going to be dangerous. So because the body is physical, we're going to need things that are dangerous to help us even in our ruchnias, because we're still physical and we can't get out of that. So that's why we really have to keep a leash on these things, but still value them and realize that ultimately, if we would stay away from these things, we wouldn't be able to be happy.
And learning Torah also is like something that connects to your body also. That Simchas Satira?
It doesn't enough. I mean, I think Shavuos is the best example. Shavuos, the Gemara says, everyone agrees you need to have a lavish Suda. Even the Manda Amr in the Gemara, who says you could downplay all other Yontifs. Well, it sounds so counterintuitive. It's Shavuos. Like, let's just learn the whole day through. But even Torah, if a person is depriving himself of physical pleasure, they could burn out. And we're not malachim. We're not angels. So we can't relate to just a spiritual day like that. The only day of the year that we really try to relate to that is Yom Kippur. But aside from that, we're not even expected to be to make Avodas Hashem so unrelatable. Okay, Shkaya, guys. Avi, thank you for that question. You were able to pull out some Divrei Torah. Everyone have a great rest of the day. Kol Tuv Selah.